Welcome to Remelations. We're your hosts. I'm Mindy.
And I'm Brooke.
Remelations is a dream interpretation podcast where we read listeners' dreams. From nightmares to the just plain bizarre, join us as we give you our comedic interpretation of your fucked up REM cycle. We're starting off today with a dream from Mateo that has a wedding theme. Ooh. Practicing your vows, gifts of food, and your favorite, bestest man of all.
And we have some amazing catnaps about waking up without a face.
Ew.
The world turning sideways.
Very dangerous.
Getting strange deliveries that might have tiny frogs. And how about dancing and fighting a creepy rando on a pirate ship in the clouds? And I'm talking about how people with dissociative identity disorder experience dreams. It's gonna be a good one.
All right, bestie. Grab that wedding invite, RSVP yes to this party, and let's get started.
Woo! I'm so tired.
Oh my God, I know.
I feel like I'm gonna fall asleep easily tonight, which is unusual for me.
That is unusual, but Brooke, you need to be excited. You're ready to read some dreams. Hey, let's do some jumping jack. Let's do some
one
burpees.
Two, three, and four, and five. Ow, I'm pumped.
All right, now do a shimmy and shake out your shoulders. Okay, that's all we need. Just a little, spice to get going.
I
you
am
didn't know,
ready.
Bestie. But we do a little warm-up, kinesthetic warm-up before we jump on here. Every time.
Mindy counts it off for us every day. Or every recording.
Sit-ups. That's it. That's true.
And yep, a one. And a two.
It's like jazzercise, but better. Oh, pull-ups, yeah. The free hang.
Yeah,
we already talked about how you suck at that.
Never done one in my life. I came close once.
Well, it's good enough. I mean, close is something.
Close is something. All right, I'm ready for you.
Good, because I've got a dream here from a gentleman who had reached out. He wanted to stay anonymous.
Okay.
But he does say, I love the name Mateo, so you can call me Mateo.
Mateo it is.
So we're going with Mateo, and Mateo is from LA.
Okay.
All right. This is an interesting one. You'll see for a lot of reasons. It's a journey.
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
It's about 4:30 a.m. and I just woke up from the oddest, most vivid dreams I've ever had.
Wow.
I dreamt that I was getting married to a girl that I was childhood friends with.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had a small crush on her too at the time.
Oh boy. But, I bet it was more than small, Mateo.
But I haven't seen or conversed with her in decades.
Wow.
Ironically, I'm gay and happily married to a male.
Now it gets interesting.
I'm telling you, this is a journey. There was never an actual wedding in the dream, nor did I ever see the bride. I guess he just kind of knew that was who he was marrying, his childhood crush.
Yeah.
However, I do recall in the dream that I was going to marry her. Mm. At one point, just before the ceremony, I thought about texting her to tell her I was excited to become her husband.
Oh.
Aww. Also, I was already mouthing my vows in my head, saying that I had always been in love with her, and I am finally happy that we were now going to be happy ever after.
Oh,
I think those sound like some fabulous vows.
Yes,
I really do.
Yes, that's just super
your heart.
Sweet.
As a sidebar, I've listened to a lot of vows.
I bet you have.
In 200 weddings and probably, 400 vows, right? Double that. And I'll tell you, the vows that get me are the ones that are just the personally written ones, right? Not the, I take you to be my husband or I take you to be my wife. I like the ones that people write themselves and they just
you can feel it.
Pour out their heart. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can just feel every little sentence they say and you get to see their nerves and their excitement. And then the other person just react. Oh, it's one of my favorite parts of a wedding day, by the way.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
What are the craziest or what's one of the worst things you've ever heard someone say in a vow. Like maybe, a swear, or maybe just something that was just totally inappropriate. Or can you think of like something you remember that it was just like, wow.
After that many, the kind of blur.
But I was going to say, I know it's a big ask.
There is not so much a cringe, but it was more like people bring their pets into it a lot, more than I would expect. Like,
oh,
I always promise to walk the dog or something like that. Like, just very simple.
I would love a vowel like that. I'd be like, that sounds good.
Now, speeches and toasts are a whole other category.
Oh.
I have heard many an awful speech and toast at a wedding.
That's, you know what? There are some good ones, but I honestly feel like the majority, people don't necessarily get it right. They make it too personal to either the bride or groom, and no one else understands. Or it's
all
just
inside
like,
jokes. That's not that no one wants to hear that. Or we did have best man talk about a previous girlfriend of the groom, or parents that like to talk about themselves a lot.
My brother was at a wedding once where the best man just gave his toast and said, "Do it in the butt," and that was all he said. Cheers!
Hey, that's okay too.
I mean, if that's the best man, you know that his buddy must have really understood what he was getting himself into when he asked him to be the best man. So
I can just only imagine Grandma's face at that.
I feel like it would be a nightmare.
Do you? Okay. Well, getting back to Mateo's vows.
Yes, Mateo.
I don't think he said that at this point.
No.
I'm sure Mateo was very, very sweet on him.
He is.
Vows. Maybe he mentioned it. Okay.
Let us know.
Please. Most of the dream involved being amidst amongst the wedding day preparations and getting there. At one point, I was sitting at some event beforehand where people around me were pranking me and I had to get away. Then, I see some random people on my way to the wedding, both who I knew and those I didn't know, congratulating me and giving me gifts of food.
Oh.
I'm okay with food gifts.
Yeah, like, are these gift baskets of food or just, like, leftovers? Somebody's handing them in a napkin.
I think either's very generous.
Happy you made it.
Right. The leftover. What's the best food gift you could receive? Have you ever received a food gift?
No, but like I've always wanted like one of those edible arrangements.
Yes.
With pineapple and strawberries and stuff. I
dipped
think that
in chocolate.
Would be.
Agreed.
I've sent that before, but I've never received
it. Yes, I've sent it too. I've never received one.
But everyone was
Brooke,
like,
I think I'm going to put a little surprise on my calendar for a year from now, and I'm just going to send it out. You won't even know. It'll be
wait.
Complete surprise.
I'll get a knock on the door, be like, what? And then I'll be like, oh, Mindy.
You know it.
And watch. It'll happen on the same day that you'll get yours. We won't plan it, but I'll plan it. I'll send it to you, and you'll send it to me, and it'll just always happen on same day.
Love it. So Mateo's receiving gifts of food. I'm finally at the wedding venue, a huge church with many different chapels and many people running around.
Cray cray.
I had trouble finding the meeting spot, but...
Oh.
I don't know the meeting spot. Like
Mateo,
the
was there no rehearsal? Are you just winging it?
Just winging it. But then I found some former coworkers who led me to the right place.
It's
very nice. At this point, I recall being excited to walk down the aisle with my mom, who, in real life, has been deceased for over 20 years.
Oh, gosh.
I never saw her in my dream, though, but I knew that she would have been dressed to the nines for such an event.
So sweet.
In real life, she never saw me get married, but at my real wedding years ago, I had her ashes in a locket that was in my pocket.
That's so sweet, Mateo.
I know. It's like she still wanted to come visit. Well, I'll get into it.
Okay.
Towards the end of the dream, I recall that I was asked to help with some sort of lighting arrangement. This is not an edible arrangement, Brooke. This is a lighting arrangement. Totally different. Sorry, you're not getting your chocolate covered strawberries. It's very dangerous. Help with some sort of lighting arrangement that was supposed to be part of the path that the wedding procession would take us to the ceremony. The lighting we were handling reminded me of the light installation that's outside the Los Angeles Contemporary Museum of Art. And then he puts it in the parentheses here, Google urban light at LACMA. I've seen this, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's very popular in photos.
Yeah.
It's like the big, they almost look like street lights, but they're like white.
Yes, very beautiful.
Totally. My understanding in the dream is that my best man was helping me with this lighting installation. And
such
this
a big ask on your wedding day.
I know. Man, I would hire a planner, first of all.
Yeah, I'd be like,
too much going on.
Yeah.
So the best man that was helping me with this was my real life husband.
Oh my God, this dream.
Yes. And the dream was in vivid color. And then he woke up.
Wowza, that's intense.
Yeah. Interesting
old
dream,
crushes,
Mateo.
New husbands, all in different roles.
I would definitely contact a planner because it seems like you're taking on too much today.
Way too
you're
much.
It's supposed to be your wedding day. You're supposed to relax, enjoy some drinks, and not have to install lights.
And you should be told where to go as well.
Right. Just don't show up. Although the wedding I did shoot this past week was a very low-key couple, just wanted to get married, forest preserve, no backup plan if it rained, just 40 people in a field.
Wow.
Met them there.
At this time of year, too, in the Midwest.
Yes, no, that's taking a big risk. But some people aren't the planners that we are, Brooke.
I know. Not all of us can be Virgos.
It's true. So true. All right, let's get into this interpretation, because I think this is an interesting one, just because, well, a lot of reasons, of course. But let's start with the first thing Mateo mentioned is he woke up at an unusual time. And I feel that people who mention that something really jolted them out of a dream, and it was at a weird time, like 4:30 a.m.
Right.
I think those dreams really stick with you for a reason.
Yeah.
It's not a normal dream. It's something that you really need to pay attention to in this.
They jar you awake for a reason, to get your attention, like you said.
Exactly. Now, we're talking about Mateo's wedding day.
Congratulations.
Congratulations once again. We talk about weddings and such a big production. And for weddings, they can be taken in multiple ways. Now, I always believe that you can't just take one symbol into account to understand a dream. Mm-mm. You have to take the whole dream into account. Getting married to the wrong person can mean an unhappiness in a relationship or just being pressured to make a decision. In this example, I don't feel like that's the case at all.
No, Mateo, I feel like he's happily married to his husband.
Yeah, he said he's happily married.
Yeah,
so why are we marrying someone else is the question. And for Mateo,
he's just curious to see like what would have happened if his life had gone a different direction and had ended up with this female childhood crush as opposed to his husband today.
Yeah. I think this idea of a marriage in this dream is just a journey. It's really a life journey. And if you take a 10,000 foot look at this dream, it begins with a childhood friend.
Of course.
That's who he's marrying. So childhood friends remind us of comfort, of something that at that point of his life was exciting. He had a crush.
Yeah.
You know, crushes are exciting. It's the gender you're going to be married to down the line or not, it just means that something was exciting and something was comforting for him. And that's the beginning of this dream. It's a childhood friend. And then we get into practicing vows, which as you go through life and you develop all these romantic relationships, you're practicing. Really, that all comes down to.
Right.
My kids are teenagers now. I was explaining to Brooke this weekend that
I was like, what?
She's like, what? I thought your daughter and her boyfriend broke up. I'm like, oh no, it's a new boyfriend. Right?
I was like, I can't keep track.
You can't keep track. Every relationship teaches you something, and especially when you're young, you're kind of practicing for what you're really looking for that final commitment, that big forever partner.
And what you're not looking for too.
Oh, more specifically.
Just as important.
More. Yes, absolutely. And so was the symbol of him practicing his vows, was it kind of a look back on past relationships? Like, these are the things I want in a partner. You're slowly weeding out what you don't want, like a female, which worked. So, you know, you're learning about who you are. You're practicing in each of these relationships. Now, there's some setbacks in this dream. And here's the part that I feel that gets repeated in a couple ways.
Okay.
One, the first setback is the pranks. It was only briefly mentioned, but he did mention that he was being pranked. And if we think about the symbol of a prank in a dream, there's two sides of it. There's the pranker and the pranky.
Yes.
Now, Mateo's the pranky. I guess, is that the right term? The pranker and the pranky?
Sure. It is now.
Sure. He's the pranky. And in that situation, I feel like he's getting stuff thrown at him. He's questioning maybe as he's working through this life journey. Again, going back to those vows and that idea of things are getting thrown at me. How am I going to deal with it? How am I going to move on? I'm going to realize that these pranks and these stupid little bullshit things don't matter in life. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get to the bigger goal.
That's all a part of growing up and learning is all of those things, like you've said.
And then we get to my favorite part, the gifts of food. And
I need to know more specifically.
I do too. Mateo, let us know. What are we eating? Are we eating donuts?
And how was it presented to you?
Bacon?
Yeah. Oh, bacon.
Mm. Nice. I know. I threw it in there.
I feel hungry now.
He says that he sees random people on the way to the wedding, people who he knew and didn't know, but they were all congratulating him and giving him gifts of food.
Yes. And that's sustenance. That's life.
Yes.
You know, food is what you need to survive. And that's like a support. People around him are loving him and giving him this support, this nutrition, so to speak.
I wrote the exact same thing down. I literally wrote food, nourishment, gifts, or people are showing their love and support to you. That is exactly what I wrote down. And I feel like we're on the same wavelength with this symbol for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That people around him, I feel like he's got a very good support base.
I do.
And whether
too.
It was there his whole life or it's something that is developed later in life, I really feel like people care about him. And maybe he realizes it, maybe he doesn't. Yeah.
I mean, he seems so sweet in the dream, like even with the words he spoke, his vows. Like, I feel like he would be this sweet person in real life.
And so after the pranks were the gifts. So it's like someone was helping him get past that part of his journey. Mm-hmm. The next part was not being able to find where the wedding spot was. Again, have a rehearsal. But he also mentions that's when his coworkers stepped in to help. And I say this again and again in the stream is people are willing to help Mateo. And I feel that this dream is just about the support he's getting.
Yeah. And like you said, maybe he's just not feeling that in his waking life. Like maybe he's craving that and he's getting it in his dream. But, you know, maybe he's also too generous too. You know, like maybe he lets people walk over him and he needs to see that, hey, I deserve the love too.
That's true.
I'm important and I deserve all of this as well.
Yep. Another example of that is his mom. His mom, who has passed away 20 years ago, doesn't show up visually in his dream, but it's a sense. It's a presence that he has that's still a presence, a visitation to him in his dream.
Sure. So sweet.
And again, it's that support. And for mom to show up, I really feel like that's emotional support. It's mom checking in. How are you doing? People are here to help you. Take it if you need to.
Since, thank you. Yes, take the help. It's okay. But also since he said she wasn't there for his actual wedding. Oh,
I know. I skipped over that part because
I'm sorry.
And then he carried her ashes.
I know
really
that part
is touching.
Was just, and the fact that she made such a strong presence even without being visible in the dream, it just goes to show that meant a lot to him that she was there.
Yeah.
A lot.
I feel where you are in your faith or your spiritual journey, Mateo, I feel like your mom is right there with you every step of the way. Literally down the aisle.
Ugh.
And speaking of spiritual, lights and dreams and replacing lights or setting up lights and dreams can mean that you're working on your spiritual development.
Oh,
so is there something he's working on in his faith or his spiritual journey that he's maybe like dabbling new things or trying new ways of thinking? And there's one person at the end who is there for him, which just made me smile so big is his real life husband comes in at the end as the best man, as literally the best man.
Hey, he finally earned that title, right? The best man. Yes, for Mateo.
And I love it. He's there. And so again, once again, I'm going back to that support. Mateo, you have the support there. And maybe you, like Brooke said, you just need to rely on a little bit more. Maybe it's just your dream mind telling you and acknowledging that it's there for you. It's like, yeah. You are pretty good off. You do have a strong base and you do have a lot of people there to support you.
Yeah. I felt very happy throughout the dream. You know,
it was
usually
nothing scary.
There's
a lot of
ups and downs or whatever. And it was such an interesting dream, but it wasn't like, it was like,
that he didn't get through with the help of his friends.
Exactly.
So yay, Mateo. Yay! If you do get married again in your dream, please send your invitations to P.O. Box 146 Wasco, Illinois. We'll be there.
We'll be there. We only need a week's notice. We'll be there.
Yeah, like I've got my passport. I'm ready to go anywhere, baby. Anywhere.
Yeah, make it somewhere good.
Yeah, let's go to like Tulum.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm a fan.
And I could be your best gal, co-best gal with Brooke. We're taking on the
gals.
We're splitting them. Double mm-hmm. best gals.
Double best gals.
You know what I do love in the wedding, I know now I'm on a wedding kick tonight, but
that's okay.
Weddings these days, people are much more likely to switch up bridal parties. So there's not mm-hmm. just a best man. There can be a best gal, or there's a man of honor or a person of honor. I love this so much because your friendships don't have to be one gender. Like
I've thought about my own wedding and like even just standing up, I could see guys and girls on
you would have like 9 people in your bridal party, Brooke. Listen to this.
Yeah.
But I'm your best gal. I'm standing.
Don't worry.
I've solidified the spot for 30 years. I'm not moving. Fight me for it,
you
bitch.
You stay strong. Fight me for it, bitch. I love you.
Okay. I love you too. All right. Wow. Thanks, Mateo, for sharing that. Loved it.
Thanks for
following the show.
Thank you so much, Mateo, for your dream and sharing that with us. And you know what, bestie out there? The bestie thing you can do is rate our show. And when I say that, I mean give it high ratings.
Give it 5 fucking stars.
5.
If you're giving it 1,
stars.
Just turn us off right now. We're not best friends.
We're not for you, and that's fine. But that's true. Want everyone to be happy with the product we're delivering because we enjoy it so much. So please, please go onto your favorite podcast app and give us 5 stars.
It is 5:42 p.m., which means it's time for catnaps.
5:42.
If you didn't know, 5:42 every day is the time for catnaps. Take a little snooze. Write us in a dream. We're going to read through a bunch of them just real quick. No analyzing on these ones, just to get through as many as we can and get you besties on the show.
Star power.
Your turn.
My turn. Got some interesting ones today. Pulled a few out and I'm like, oh, they kind of are all a little weird, but that's all right.
Okay, let's go for it.
I'm going to start with just a real short one from Gregory, and he's from Palm Beach. And he said, it was a bit of a nightmare because I was walking outdoors, but then the world turned like 80 to 120 degrees sideways.
I think that would be very bad to do. I mean, I'm no scientist, but I'm guessing.
I think it would be very
bad. We have gravity. That's our saving grace. But if that thing
but goes. Not at that angle. And Gregory says it was like I was on a steep mountain cliff, except it was the normal world terrain with trees and buildings sideways. And the world just kept turning more and more as I was struggling not to fall down.
Or up. Which I don't know which
Gregory,
way we're going,
which one?
Gregory.
Up or down? We don't know. Ooh. Yeah, but could you imagine? Like, you're just walking along and all of a sudden you're like, hang on.
No, it's a thought I don't want to think about, but I know, now I do have to.
Sorry, that was my gift to you.
Appreciate it.
I can think about it. Thank you, Gregory.
Well, this is an interesting one. This is from Harper from San Diego.
Okay.
I had a dream that I was on a tower staring down into a flower field with many different colors. It was so beautiful. I was tempted to jump off into the flowers.
No, don't do it.
I think it's not a good idea. Because even the tallest flowers are only like 12 inches.
Catch you like you would fall on a pillow. I don't think those flowers are going to do that.
Then Harper says, but then this random person helped me not to do so. This was genuinely one of my most beautiful dreams I've ever had, even if it was still an eerie one.
Ooh, I like that she can appreciate that.
Right? I'm sure it was beautiful, but like that that gets me. It's, like that temptation.
It is scary because that means like it could happen to anyone. It's like brainwashing. It's so everyone thinks it only happens to like certain type of
weak
people,
minds.
But it's like weak minds, but it's no, even the smartest people in the world, the strongest people with the wrong person, you can be
temptation's one of the hardest things in the human entity. Like the things that we have to deal with as humans. Temptation's one of the worst.
It is. It really
but
is.
But Harper had a guardian angel.
Get it, girl. I'm glad you had that person on your shoulder. Monica from St. Louis.
St. Louis!
St. Louis, Louis.
Meet me in St. Louis.
St. Louis, Louis.
I just drew on my wall.
Mindy, what are you, a kindergartner?
No, seriously. Like, I went to dance. I'm always holding my pen, if you haven't noticed. And I went to dance, and I just literally... Well,
I
you're
can't
not going to
see
it because it's not going to focus. But I drew on my wall.
Oh, now this is going to be a drawing wall. Can I draw on it the next time I'm there?
No, because it took me long enough to paint this damn wall.
So are we using like a magic, what is it?
Eraser.
Mr. Clean eraser. Yes. Magic eraser.
Maybe I can use a little mom water.
Mom water. Oh. Mindy turns the pages
mom water
with her
right
mom
off.
Water.
Done.
Done. Perfect.
Although the kids, before we put the carpet down, drew murals on the concrete underneath the carpet.
Of course.
Yes.
We had the best time, again, side note, growing up, because I moved into the house that my parents are still in when I was three. It's like basically the only house I know. But the basement was just cement, wasn't finished. Mindy now knows we spent many a slumber party
many
down there.
Times.
Like my parents like redid it, but when we were kids, we would roller skate around there, draw on the walls.
Oh,
it was like it was like a dream. Yeah,
my hands are under the porch I grew up in. My dad laid concrete to redo the porch, and so under where the wood is my handprints from probably about 7 years old. Bestie, do you have something that you're permanently marked somewhere? Like, is there something that you've done that has a permanent? What do you give me that look for?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Like a permanent reminder, like hands in the cement, writing on something that's covered up, graffitiing. Yeah. Let us know. I'm curious.
I would love to know too. That's interesting. Hmm. Good call. Back to Miss Monica from St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. St. Louis, Louis. Here we go.
I dreamed I was in an all white or very pale pink bathroom that was lit with bright sunlight. And I looked in the mirror above the sink. My hair was brown. And she says it's dyed black in real life. So it was actually her natural color.
Okay.
And it was up in a messy bun. My skin was tan. She's very specific. My skin was tan. And I was wearing a white or possibly very pale blue t-shirt.
Ooh, lots of pales.
Instead of having a face, it was all gone.
No. What good is a tan if you don't have a face?
I guess it's on your body. Your body's
but
tan.
But still, you're
you
not going to
no
catch
face.
Anyone, any new lovers that way.
Totally like it was never there in the first place. Yet I could see without any problem.
Interesting. Okay.
The part where my face would be was darker than the rest of me. So maybe it's even tanner. I don't know. I remember looking at it, touching the edge of my not face and not
face.
Being worried.
Well, that's
I
good.
Shrugged and just acknowledged that it happened and it'd be something I just need to deal with. I mean, come on, who is this person? I might wake up without a face. I'm
just
like,
totally chill,
just life.
That happens. I hate when that happens.
I hate when I wake up without a face. But I didn't panic. And it seemed to just be a regular one of those things feelings. I left the bathroom to tell my mother about my missing face. And then I woke up. I feel like it would be alarming for her mom, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think she'd need to tell her. She just walks downstairs without a face. Mom's going to know.
Like when you walk into your parents' bedroom, you just stare over them at the edge of the bed just until they wake up. You don't say anything. And then all of a sudden, I don't know. As a mom, I feel a presence. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's super creepy.
If I had a faceless child, I might not have a child anymore.
You think yourself? You were dreaming or having a nightmare. Oh, like, what the?
Crazy.
Why does my child not have a face? But hey, Monica took it in stride. Good for her. She's got good right? coping skills.
She's like totally fine. Like, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
All right. Next, we have Lauren, and she's from Boise. I was with one of my closest friends in a show on stage with some musicians. Dancing. Sounds like something we might have done this weekend.
Okay. Maybe. I'm not going to spill our secrets yet.
No, I'm not. Yeah, stay around for chit-chat. Dancing and looking down below at the crowd. My friend whispers in my ear that this guy is bothering her. She points to him. Okay, Brooke, what are you going to do?
I'm going to go up and talk to him.
I know you would. In like 0.2 seconds, Brooke's like, let me take care of this.
I'm like, dude. What's the deal? Just feel out the waters. You know, maybe he's just coming off creepy, but he really, you know, is actually just maybe doesn't know how to approach a woman.
Good. Okay. She says, he didn't look like much at first. Just another guy at a show that would irritate me. So, given that it's a dream and this wouldn't realistically happen, I start to just absolutely wail on him.
Whoa!
I get the other girls in on it, too. I'm beating him until my hands and his face are both raw.
My goodness!
That's a pent-up energy here, Lauren.
He must have really had a bad look on his face.
But no matter how much I punch, he just looks up at me and kindly smiles. Until finally...
Even when he's smiling, I think he's not so creepy anymore. Dark. I mean, it's either super creepy or he's just a super nice guy. It's one of the two.
Right. It's a fine line. It's a fine line.
It's a very fine line.
Until finally he pulls me in by my hips and whispers, you're hitting me too low in the face. Aim for the corner of my cheek.
What?
He's giving her fighting tips, Brooke.
I don't know the corner of the cheek. I would go for the button, you know? That's the one that gets you down every time.
He gives me a very soft demonstration. And at seeing the confusion in my eyes, he holds my jaw. He never breaks eye contact.
Oh.
I feel an apology coming out of my lips that I don't mean. And he rubs my lips with his thumb and tells me.
I'm out.
And tells me, I don't know what I want. Obviously, it's a girl that can beat the shit out of you.
He's like, give it to me. Into some S&M. Hey, whatever you like.
As long as it's consensual.
You do you. Yeah, you do
And there's
you.
A safe word. But interesting. I'm out, though, with you. I'm.
Do you have a safe word, Mindy? Do you ever do anything crazy enough that you need a safe word?
No.
What would it be if you had?
I was going to say the first word that came to my mind was sausage, but that's... but I don't know
why. I had to brace myself on my entertainment stand. I'm like, sausage.
don't know why. Don't know. How it works.
Well,
Brooke, what's yours?
That made my day. So that's all I needed.
What are you yelling?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so if we're going to be fair, the first word that popped in my head also, and I don't know why, is pineapple.
Well, you know, that's funny. Because that was actually the first word. Sausage was my second word.
Oh, my. We both have the same safe word that we never even knew existed.
Oh my gosh, Brooke, I'm so pineapple. Well, wait, we do feel safe in our relationship, so it does make sense.
It does.
I did. You're drinking a pineapple White Claw, so maybe that seeped into our subconscious.
That is true, but like, still, and we were talking about edible arrangements. Yeah, maybe I'm just thinking about pineapples, but I mean, obviously, we both were, so.
Well, Lauren, going back to Lauren here. So he's rubbing her lips with his thumb and says, "I don't know what I want." I shake my head and push him away. My friend looks understandably angry, and I'm not sure why I let that happen. I grab her hand and run up to the top deck. I guess there's a deck. It has pretty pop art decor and is built like a wide pirate ship. Oh, so it really is a deck. It's a deck.
It's a deck of a ship.
It's a deck of a ship. The concert floats in the clouds. Okay, so let me just get this straight. We are on a pirate ship playing a concert, floating in the clouds, punching random men that try to seduce you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we're at.
We needed a recap because there's a lot going on.
I take my friend to the restroom and we take a second to breathe. The guy I had been punching peeks his head in and I throw my arms up in front of her, glaring at him before making a run for it. I swing on beams and jump on random windows and make rounds on parts of the ship that seemed abandoned. Every time I look back, he's gracefully gliding on walls, spinning through windows, and dancing on a rope. Dancing on a rope? I scream things like, "That's it! That's all you can do?" Rope dancing seems kind of hard, so.
Is that like aerial dancing, like when you're in the ribbons?
Nice. Hoping he'd fall off the boat to the ground, but he never does. He looks confident. Free, like he's truly having fun and isn't worried about the outcome. My friend looks more annoyed by the second. He catches up with me at the front of the ship and says something snarky. I don't remember what he said. But then I woke up.
Oh my god.
This dream is so vivid, it just has to mean something.
It does, right? Like a was it a pirate ship or just a ship?
A pirate ship in the clouds, but like, that was a lot. That was a lot, Lauren. That was a big dream. And the fact they were so willingly to punch someone so violently.
And punch them raw. That's what she said, I believe. Punch them raw. It wasn't just like, hey, dude, leave me alone. It was pineapple.
Puppies, kittens.
See, if he only had a safe word, he maybe wouldn't. But it seemed like he liked getting the shit kicked out.
He kind of did. So. He seemed very persistent in a creepy way. Very confident.
Very creepy, creepy rando. Yes. Not a fan. Especially the thumb part.
Ugh. Oh, but that was that was so specific. It did bother me a lot.
Yes, it was so specific. Oh, okay. Mm. Well, thank you for that. All right. This is Leng, L-E-N-G, in case you were wondering, from Montreal.
Nice.
So I had this nightmare last night that I was walking into an under-construction house with my mother and a kid. It was a rando kid.
Yep.
The house was still under construction, but completely habitable, too, somehow. Okay. Like, the basic structure was finished, only, like, paint and interior jobs were left. So I casually walk into this bedroom, which had an additional door to my right. As I push it open, I see a dead body of a human being.
No, push it shut. Push it shut.
Shut the door. Leng, shut the door.
Don't mess with the evidence.
Mm-mm. Shut it. Walk away.
Call 911.
As I push open this door, I see a dead body of a human being with a completely bald head and was kept in a sitting position like a Buddhist monk.
Well, so someone, at least he died peacefully.
Yes. The instant I saw it, the body somehow woke up and turned into a demon and started chasing me.
I told you to shut the door.
You should have
dead bodies, demons.
The door.
Shut it.
shut the door. I took hold of my mother's wrist and the child and dragged them out of the house as it kept chasing us.
Well, that's good. Yes.
At least Sleng is finally moving away.
Yeah, good idea.
I was constantly telling my mom that we need to get inside a temple. Only then will we be safe. But I also clearly remember passing three temples and I didn't go in because I told her that they were not strong enough
to protect us. I think I try the
first one.
And then worry about it. Then decoy, like, giving you more time to get to the second temple.
It just seems like the three little pigs.
Right.
Try the first temple. Small. Now the road we were running on was beautifully curvy, hilly road with green hills on one side. And the time was evening time and the sun was setting. We ran and ran and finally reached a very ancient temple where I, along with the other two, hurriedly went in and locked the door. But I couldn't lock the windows. The demon tried to attack me, but he couldn't come inside the temple. Once it disappeared, we slept and were awoken by this female priestess who asked us to stay in a room attached to the temple for our safety. And then I woke up.
Oh, okay. Well, dang. That's tiring. I mean, it's not like they were searching for a danger. They just happened to come across
zombie, Buddhist, dead demon man.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh. That demon really was a trickster.
Persistent. Just gotta punch him raw. Just punch him raw.
Punch him raw. Punch that demon raw.
The last one I have for us is from Dante from Madison, Wisconsin. A while ago, I dreamt that my friend and I received a strange package from an old lady who previously lived in the apartment I live in now. I remember the bag being quite disgusting and slimy, but it had like it had some melted gummy candy in it. I was very eager to open it.
I want that melty gummy candy.
I wonder what it is. It's a surprise edible arrangement of melted gummies. A gummy. I feel like we could be onto something. A gummy arrangement. Mm. Yeah. It can only ship to certain states, though.
That's true.
Personally delivered.
And certain times a year.
Well, you know what's funny? When I worked, now to get a side note.
Okay, well, of course.
Of course, that's all we do. When I worked for a direct sales software company, one of our direct sales companies was Dove Chocolates. And we had to have special shipping rules shipping to Arizona in certain times of the year because you had to pack it in dry ice.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, that totally makes sense.
I know. It does make sense. And you'd probably want to have that special shipping scales for gummies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, previous old lady owner, old lady.
I mean,
you should
dropping the ball a little bit, lady.
Pack some dry ice around the gummies. I felt a little guilty / greedy for pulling everything out of the bag while my friend just sat and watched. Inside
no
the bag.
No sharing?
It's like, mine. Inside the bag, there was a kind of board game with cards and some candy, etc. There are also two frogs.
I beg to ask. Alive frogs?
Well,
are they alive?
Well, they, I don't.
Are they gummies?
They're approximately 4 centimeters by 4 centimeters. So we're talking tiny frogs.
That is the most specific I think we've
ever seen. Tiny frogs.
Yeah. Sometimes the tiny frogs are the deadliest kind.
Most venomous?
Mm-hmm.
There were two frogs. One of which had a flattened part of its head. A small chessboard was painted on the flattened part, and tiny chess pieces were included.
I would say it would have to be very tiny.
How could you even get the details? 0.5 centimeter. My rook isn't going to move because it's too tiny.
There's no room. There's no room for a chessboard on a tiny frog.
Tiny frog game boards. It's inhumane, really. It's PETA's calling already. Not gonna happen.
No, I don't like it.
And why do they have to be with, like, melted gummies? It's just all around.
It just seems like a bad environment for a tiny frog. Mateo, thank you so much for your amazing dream. And we had some pretty good catnaps today, I must say, Mindy. So,
oh, of course.
Thank you to everyone for submitting, and keep them coming. Okay. So, Mindy, I have an interesting topic to talk about today. But first and foremost, I would just like to apologize because...
We're starting off with an apology.
No, I know. It was kind of like you last week where... We are not recording on the day we usually do, so I had, like, more time to think about stuff and kind of change my search in a different direction.
Got it.
So,
yes.
I just want to let you know I will still be doing deeper, more research into this because it's fascinating to me, but let's get into this topic. So, how do people with DID, which is dissociative identity disorder, experience dreams?
Okay.
So interesting. Baseline, dissociative identity disorder is a mental health condition, and if you're living with it, it means you have two or more separate identities.
Yeah, okay.
These personalities control your behavior at different times. Each identity has its own personal history, traits, likes, and dislikes, and it can lead to gaps in memory and hallucinations. This is what used to be called multiple personality disorder split personality disorder, which is probably how most people still think of it.
Let me ask you this, if you don't mind.
Yes.
This fascinates me. This topic is very interesting. What made you think of it?
Mindy, this has been on my list of topics for months, and I don't know why I'm just getting to it now. And I can't remember. I must have watched something.
Yes. I'm so curious.
It must have popped in my head, but I'm like,
do they have the same dream memories? Are they one of their personalities always dreams? Do they all dream? Does it depend on the night?
These are all my questions.
Get into it. Okay.
And I was just having such a hard time because I'll tell you right now, there's not a lot of, like, empirical evidence or not even evidence, just any kind of studying much
research
on
research, yeah.
So that's why I said I've kind of had to change because I was getting a lot of scientific mumbo jumbo, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to get into the nitty gritty, you know? And so I had to kind of change my method going more towards asking or finding answers from people who actually have DID.
Yeah, sure.
Their personal experiences.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay. So for people without DID, dream experiences, as we all know, include other characters, dreams, and they may behave in ways one can't predict or control.
Even the fact that most normal people have differences of whether they dream in first person or third person.
Yeah, there's already variables, right? But since people with DID already have alters, is what their personalities are called, alters. In waking life, you know, identities the host can't directly control and switch amongst. So how does this manifest in dream states? You know, are dream characters the same as alters or different ones?
Yeah, yeah.
So I asked the question, one of the questions I wanted to know was, do alters, so then this is how I got onto alters. I was looking in the whole wrong direction. So then I steered. Uh-huh. So do alters in dissociative identity disorder share the same dream, which is one of your questions?
Yes.
Do they have different dreams? Okay. So I read a few different things, and I've heard of people whose dreams are their inner worlds and fully consist of interacting with each other. The alter who goes to sleep has the dream. Sometimes a switch will happen while a dream is happening, and the story of that dream will go in a new direction. So they give an example. Mike was going home in his dream. Suddenly, Charlie fronted him and gained more control over it. And the dream suddenly moved into more of a Charlie personality dream. So it can kind of switch. They can kind of cross over, which is interesting.
This is reminding me of, it's like if Tyler Durden took over your dream, right?
Mindy,
I'm just thinking.
We have to do this. We have to do this.
Well, have we can't have do we, BP.
We can do Edward Norton or Helena Bonham Carter.
Your call, girl.
Let's do Eddie No.
Eddie No. Okay. Well, all right. Here we go. Eddie No. Hashtag. Eddie No.
Hashtag. What does Edward Norton
dream?
Well,
you know, because I find that, well, obviously, I mean, not only most of the people that aren't very closely tied to this disorder, and even Hollywood itself finds this so interesting. So if you don't know, Bessie, we're talking about the movie Fight Club. Spoiler alert. I mean, it's been out for 30 years.
I know. It's just one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's a great movie. And it's one that if you haven't seen, go see it. Let me say this. Just skip forward. Just skip forward about four times. But Fight Club is about a man with multiple personality disorders. And so it just makes me think. And that whole movie, you're like, is this a dream? But then you later find out it's not a dream. It's multiple personalities.
There's just, I wish I could reach it. Like, I mean, just like two arms lengths away from me is a Funko Pop of Tyler Durden.
Oh, a Funko Pop.
You know, like because my brother gave it to me and it sits with my other collectibles. Only he gives me collectibles. But I'm like, Tyler Durden? Yes, I will take a Tyler Durden.
If we could
Durden.
Only hashtag a celebrity more than once,
I know
BP would be up there. Mr. Pitt.
Or I would even take David Fincher, my favorite director. But I digress.
All good. Okay. Sorry.
All good.
I was digressing because I was thinking of like movies that...
I'm just so proud that you know that movie so well. I'm gonna watch it soon.
Okay.
I've seen it a million times. It's one of my only DVDs.
It's always a good rewatch.
It is. There's... Like, I have certain DVDs that I just can't get rid of, you know, that are like special edition, multi-disc. Like, okay. So different authors have had their own dreams. And this is from someone with DID. And she says, I have dreams where I'm me. And dreams where I'm a different character. Most of my dreams are in third person anyway, though still focuses on the me in the dream as a main character. Mm-hmm. However, there was one night where our nonverbal, not really human, very, very young alter had a dream. Hmm. That sounds like a scary alter to have.
Yeah.
Not really human.
Yeah, nonverbal.
Yeah, and their dream was so completely and entirely different than any dream I remember. Their entire view of the world is radically different than mine. The colors were pastel. The whole dream was tinged with hope and wonder. I don't know how to explain experiencing the memory of someone else's dream in a way that would make sense. Yeah, it is.
I can imagine it's very hard to explain.
I don't know why there's not more... on this, like, it's so fascinating to me. Like, I was just getting numbers and data and stuff, and I'm like, no, I want
the story
to actually hear about it. Yeah,
makes sense. The fact that a creature has, I would just by that term, how you explained it, expect a very dark nightmares,
and
you're like, it's
opposite.
Pastel, it's great. Like, what?
Well, and when I was first reading this, I was like, oh, this is gonna turn out badly, but no, it was just opening her mind to one of her alters and their mind. It's just, it's all just so fascinating.
Wow, okay, yes.
Okay, so how do people with DID experience dreams? Okay, so this is another young lady that I got this information from. She says, for us, it varies. Sometimes whoever is in front when we go to sleep does the dreaming, which we kind of already talked about. But sometimes our dreams are a collaborative affair in which many people participate in each dream.
Okay.
People also dream separately here in a couple of ways. People dream their own dreams, of course, when they're at home in our inner, is what they say, inner country or world. Which is the world the alters in the person live in.
Okay.
In our country, things are just as real as they are out here. So naturally, people have dreams that belong only to them. The other way people dream separately is that we have more than one dream at the same time. This fascinates me. It's sort of like being co-conscious, or rather co-present. Two or more dreams happen at once. We nearly always have music playing in our head, and often more than one song plays at once. This is so fascinating.
It's hard enough waking up with a song in your head, let alone two people put a song in your head.
Or more?
No.
And they probably all like different types. It probably sounds like
it's like country
mess.
And rap. Like the same jazz, it's like Beyonce's new
jazz
album.
Mitch. Yeah, it's just going to be crazy. I guess being multiple gives us the capability to process more than one set of information at once, which you basically were just saying makes total sense. Sometimes people have more than one dream at the same time. I know this is getting crazy. And sometimes they end up merging so that two or more people find themselves in the same dream, which now has elements of each person's personal dream.
Wow.
I know this is a little hard to follow.
I would love to know any dream from someone who experiences dissociative identity disorder, because I would really like to know. I want to hear one of these dreams.
I do. And I would love to see how, you know, obviously each person that has this disorder is going to have different experiences. But when you read something like this, you're like, I want to know what that dream is, and like when the dreams converge, and then how it took it.
Well, it's just incredible, because our normal mind, look at the catnaps we read tonight, and how,
you know,
how different they were and how crazy they were. And it's like, now we just have all that in one head is got to be exhausting.
So frustrating.
Not only exhausting. And frustrating. Yes. In both. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine.
I don't even know. I don't even know how I'd even try to interpret
I don't. I'm just reading it and letting it fascinate me, because if I try to think about it too much. Yeah, it is. Right. Because like if I try to think about it too much, then I get like overwhelmed. And it's like, how do you think they feel?
Like, yeah. It's just. Yeah. Wow. Just from the outside, it's overwhelming. You're right.
Yes. So now and then a dream of somebody else's merges into another, and the person dreaming one of the dreams ends up coming forward into the body, waking our body up. We've actually found out about a couple of people that way. So this person found out different alters through dreams.
Okay.
Which is interesting. That's just one way to find a different alter.
I'm not sure if this is, I might cut this out, but is there a movie where they visually show the idea of different alters via being spotlights? Or is this something
you just thought of a great movie idea.
Maybe I've seen it on like some sort of documentary, but like how I've pictured it or how I saw this, and maybe it's my own mind, but it's like, who's taking the spotlight at this point? They're all there in the background. Like, they're all like control, background players.
Right? Yeah.
But how they steal the spotlight from each other.
I think, if that is a movie, tell me what it is.
I don't think I came up with that on my own, to be honest. It has to be something I've seen.
If you did, then we are even on another path to greatness.
But no, and that's how I think about it in my mind. Like, how can I relate something I know as someone who doesn't have that?
We can't even form the words, the right questions, because it's so out of our realm of anything we could possibly comprehend. So it's anything like that just fascinates me, because it's like you also have to have the empathy for the people going through it too.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah.
Getting into that a little bit, here are some, I just want to end with a couple examples, and they're not necessarily very specific dreams, but they're experiences. Okay. So I'd like to just kind of go.
Sure.
And these are all anonymous, but I have a handful or so. And this person says, we do share dreams, as well as having our own dreams. I don't think the dreams mean anything more than dreams in general do. We're all sleeping when we have them, after all, so dream logic applies, which I think is very interesting.
Can't call a cell phone. Can't call 911. No one can.
It'll ring and ring
and
ring.
Can you imagine handing the phone off to your altar and be like, can you call 911? And they're like, I can't.
Please, can you try?
Did anyone
hand it off to the next one? But it's definitely really interesting to be able to interact with each other in separate bodies, which happens to us frequently in dreams. So this person says, in my experience, yes, we do share dreams. Me and my protector will often have the same nightmares. And then I have a caregiver and sometimes share dreams as well. So this person has a protector to help when they have nightmares and then a caregiver to help them kind of maneuver into a more positive mind frame.
Maybe I could use a protector.
A protector and a caregiver. So this next person says, yeah, we can share dreams. I've been noticing it happening a lot more recently. It's kind of nice when you're together in a dream, actually seeing and talking and doing whatever together. Hmm. And she says, last night we dreamt that CJ, who must be one of the alters, was battling monsters. And the rest of us were all there just to support building different armors for CJ. And she goes, that was fun.
Okay.
So there's so many different types of experiences depending on the person, too.
Can you imagine just having like your alters come in and help you with the nightmares? That would be helpful.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Many alters share their dreams to show how they view things. So my alters will talk while I'm asleep. We call it twilight, the time before sunrise and sunset. They are very talkative during this time to the point I will actually talk in my sleep.
I would love to hear that soliloquy.
Can we have this, please?
Theater. I want to know.
I want this so badly. If I manage to stay asleep, I will dream about what they are talking about. Sometimes it can be very emotional, and I will wake up with distress, but try to remember to stay calm and hear them out and try to be supportive. Like how they're supporting each other, but they could also fight with each other. They can get along, not get along. Some might, like, there's so many different variables here. So the last thing I just wanted to mention is that this person says, yes, I've had a few dreams, only to realize that six of us had the same dream.
Oh, but it was my God. Now you're...
I know!
It's like a shared dream experience, but not between individual people, between individual personalities.
With one brain.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was all... mine originally, as I was the person in the dream. It's weird and can cause for some weird situations. Mm-hmm. I bet. But those are just we've just hit the tip of the iceberg tonight, Mindy. I wish there were more out there that I could share, but I feel like this was a great jumping off point because my mind is blown.
I agree. I think the route of personal experiences over the scientific part of this is like the best way to go because.
Yes.
The science, we can't understand dreams, so how can we even fathom the idea of scientifically understanding multiple personality dreams? So I think taking it that route was very smart of you. I am dying
a good one.
To know. I would love to post on social media, see if we can get some more takes on it, because it really is.
I mean,
something,
everyone's different too, that you like we said, everyone experiences it differently, just like we all experience dreams and nightmares differently too, but just imagining all that on top of everything else is,
because I mean, the lay person, the person who might not understand this order, might think like, well, it's all in your mind, right? These multiple personalities are just in your head. You're being dramatic. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure people who are dealing with this disorder, unfortunately, face a lot of criticism like that, that, you know, people brush it off. And they're like, well,
they don't
then, of course,
them.
You have the same. The night has to be the same because it's you're only one person.
No.
Where I'm with you. I'm like, I find the idea of that. Doesn't happen, and you feel for these people who are dealing with this disorder, but how can it also affect your nighttime is just beyond
crazy
interesting. Yeah,
it is. So more to come in the future. I don't know when, but I'm gonna stay on top of this because I would like to share more as I can. And like Mindy said, if you have anything, any personal experiences or anyone you know that you could share, send that over.
Reach
to
out.
Us.
Yes. Bestie, if you know someone, here, we're going to get into it already. Bestie, if you know someone who has DID,
Yes.
Ask them about their dreams, because dreams are something that ties all of humanity together. It's been together for centuries, but we're all different people. We all have different experiences. Let us know. You can submit a dream. And the best way you can do that is by heading to revelations.com/support. You can share your dreams. You can share your dream stories. You can see my shocked face with this topic on our on our videos, because we post each video of each episode online. So share, support us. We want to know more. Support the show. That's how we can keep digging into these fascinating topics.
We'll do the work if you let us.
Work, 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 work. Brookie's going to do the work, 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 work.
Work, yeah. Work.
She twerks, 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 twerks.
Oh, I can't twerk, but I like this song.
Thank you. I stole it from Yana. I stole it from Riri.
Oh.
Bestie, if you followed the podcast last week and listened all the way to the end, you know we had a very exciting weekend ahead of us, which was
we did
my oldest daughter's 21st birthday. So shout out to Olivia. I feel like now that she's 21, happy it's birthday. Okay to share her name.
You
Olivia.
Can say the name.
I think so.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
And wow. Mindy, anyone that's seen you, you can't believe that you have a 21-year-old, first of all.
Thank you. Thank
no,
you
it's not that. Even, it's not even like a compliment.
Well, I was a baby when I was only 22 when I had her, so. Well,
yeah,
that's I was true. A baby myself.
That's, Mindy, that's almost as old as she is.
I know. It is crazy.
Does that blow your mind?
Double her life. Times two. It's a Mindy squared.
Mindy squared.
So the plan was she wanted to go downtown to Chicago to celebrate her 21st birthday. Auntie Brooke came along, and so did her boyfriend. And we went downtown. Well, we started the day. Let's kind of walk through it. We started our day a little bit before you got into town. So
you did.
We had to hit up Wrigleyville, kind of a classic
naturally,
Chicago.
Have to do it.
Neither of them had ever been down there, so we stopped in a couple of bars. We stopped at the Cubby Bear.
Yay! Oh, the Cubby Bear.
Yeah. Classic. Got to stop at the Cubby Bear. Yes. Mm-hmm. I had up Chicago prices for drinks. 3 drinks, 2 beers, and a Tito's and Red Bull for, ding, 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 $45. Stab me in the heart.
Yeah.
But, I will give a shout out to my family, because everyone in my family Venmo'd me a drink for her, so it kind of cut down the costs. Everyone kind of pitched in, which
That's
is fun.
That's so sweet.
We were shooting photos all night over. And then we hit a Bloody Mary bar, which I know you were disappointed you didn't get to hit this.
I know, because that's one of my favorites. And what I saw from your experience there,
incredible.
It was insane.
I'm going to give a shout out. I found this place via TikTok. It's called Texan Tacos. And they have a $15 mug you get. So they fill it up with ice and vodka. And then they have a whole Bloody Mary bar where you can pick your mix. Because, of course, in Chicago, we love Zing Zang. But there's like Clamato. And there's like just straight tomato juice. And you can choose your mix. And then there's a cheese board. And a like sausages. And pickles. And onions.
Olives. And
super good bacon. Like.
Oh,
sugary,
bacon. I love bacon and a Bloody Mary.
Celery, cucumbers, carrot. I mean, anything you possibly wanted on a Bloody Mary stick came with it. It was the best deal, and it was delicious. Ugh. My daughter loves Bloody Mary, so that was a highlight for her.
Yes.
Being 21 is interesting. How she
it
loves
was.
Them already.
She
By
knows.
21 in one day.
She knows.
Yeah, crazy, right? How did she know she loved them so much before she turned 21? I'm not sure.
Mindy, she couldn't have tried them before because she couldn't legally drink, and that's just unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
Unheard of.
So then you joined us. We met at the hotel where we checked in because we weren't driving anywhere that night. We just wanted to stay downtown and have a good time.
Yes. And Liv was already a little tipsy, she admitted to me.
Two drinks, yes.
Two drinks. So
girl.
Then my whole concept of the night changed, because I was thinking it was going to be this all night to like
4 a.m. Rager. She wanted to go to a club.
Clubs. And like Mindy and I were like, oh, okay. It's your birthday.
Okay, we're going to do it. We're good sports.
We're going to do it. So after we got checked in, we sent Liv and her boyfriend out on a little sojourn just to be out of the room for a little bit so Mindy and I could decorate. And
yes,
then
did some cute decorations.
My secret contribution.
Of course, super secret.
Super secret contribution is I bought a plethora of things that you can hide alcohol in.
It's from like you're in the dark market, Brooklyn. Were you just
I was on the dark web. I was on the dark web. I'm like, I need tampons that you can hold alcohol in, hair brushes.
Bestie.
I had a battery charger pack.
It looks like a battery charger. It even came with a USB cord. You can put wine in it. So we're cheap.
And perfume bottles.
We're paying too much to walk into these covers and these places. We wanted to make the rest of the evening save money. And so we keep the party going between things. And so Brooke found secret alcohol storing devices.
Mm-hmm. And I bought them all.
It worked out well. And you bought
it did. I think
the lot.
You know what? I bet it saved us hundreds of dollars.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if your three drinks were $45...
Yes.
The amount we had in our purses, or my purse in particular.
And your power bank
one.
And in your perfume bottle and your hair brush and tampons.
I mean, we did all right, Mindy. We did all right.
Bestie, I have a picture. I'll post it on the Sleepover Squad if you want to see Brooke and her plethora of, I would almost say it's like you're reliving the 1920s and sneaking your alcohol around.
I mean,
it's Chicago. It makes sense.
It's Chicago. Yeah, it's like, I can't afford that shit.
Your own purse speakeasy.
Yeah, my own purse speakeasy. God bless Coach for making me a beautiful purse to hold all these devices.
Yes, yes. The night was fun. Did you have anything that like stood out to you as the most memorable part of the night?
The whole night was fun. I feel like we went to a drag show.
Yes, well,
choice.
We had her scared because we said Brooke had a surprise of where she wanted to take you. And
she was convinced it was a strip club.
She thought it was a strip club. We got to the drag show. She's like, I've always wanted to see a drag show. So that was fun. And the performers, gorgeous, beautiful,
chef's
talented.
Kiss.
Shout out to Baton.
Baton Lounge.
In Chicago. Amazing. In Chicago. Also friendly and also incredible. Incredible performers.
Yes. Just stunning.
That was a fun time.
That was super fun. And seeing her reaction when she realized it was a drag show, that was really special because she got super excited. Because I think she was a little nervous. And I think her boyfriend was especially nervous that he thought we were taking all of us to a strip club.
Right.
But then we went to Howl at the Moon.
Yes. And Bestia, Howl at the Moon is a dueling piano bar. One of the most incredible entertainment spots in Chicago. River North area is where we stayed.
There's dancing. It's just
the musicians
so
are incredible.
They're amazing.
The piano player is a singer, is a drummer, and everyone is a virtuoso.
Everyone. Mm-hmm.
We got her on stage. Actually, at both spots. We got her on stage.
We did get her on stage at both spots.
Shout out.
Yes. Yes.
And the best part is we out-partied the youngins.
We did, Mindy. They went home before us.
It was about, 2:30, I think?
I couldn't even imagine. All I know is I ended up with her 21st birthday sash on for the whole
time. Yes, that's true.
I got home and I'm like, when did I put this on and where did she go?
There's
Mindy
pictures
just
to prove
got
it.
A text that was like, we're going home. And we're like, well, okay, well, we're
okay,
we're not
well,
there
we're
yet.
Not done yet. I was surprised that we outlasted them.
I was very surprised, but we had such a fun time. It was just, and we didn't have to step foot into a club. So it was
and
a
we
big
did,
success.
We skipped the club. That was the best part.
We finished the night
with Jello shooter shots. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy time.
It was a lot of fun.
But you know what I found out later the next day? Because you woke up pretty early and left because you had to drive back home for Easter.
Yeah.
They stopped by Subway on the way back. And I was like, that was probably really smart.
They should, yes. To get some food in your stomach, smart.
And we ate some cheese and crackers. And we finished our night off with an episode of ER as we cuddled in bed.
Mindy and I were almost like cuddled up in the bed. Like she moved
watching
her pillow over next
ER.
To me.
I did.
I mean,
so
we were like,
because
also I only had my tiny little iPad. And so I put on ER
next to you. Don't matter.
Yes, I know. And then like we didn't get very far into it, and we're like, we're going to bed.
It was about 3 seconds. I'm like, my eyes are closed.
It was about 3 seconds into the episode. Mindy's like, I'm going to bed. I'm like, okay, that sounds fine.
But it was an amazing night. I do remember. Thank you for joining.
Oh, yes, at the drag show, there was one point where, you know, I was trying to get everyone to go up and tip, and that didn't take much. Mindy went up, Liv went up. You know, it was great. Everyone was just having a great time.
Of course.
And there was one point, and I don't even know what the performer did, but all three of us just stood up at the same time and went to the stage
the edge of the with stage, money. And I was like, cheering them on.
We're just like at the, it was like all of us at the same time was like, we have to go up. We didn't even say anything to each other. All three of us just stood up at the same time. It was great.
It will be a night birthday, that we'll always remember. Yes. And happy birthday, Olivia. Thank you for coming and be the amazing fun aunt. And everything.
Thank you for having me.
By all. Of course. We survived. How were you feeling on Sunday? Can I ask?
Boy, when I woke up, I was like, I wish I could stay in this bed all day, but I knew I had to go. Yes. So I kind of like had that motivation. And it wasn't till like I was getting closer, because from downtown Chicago, it's a little further than like going to your house. It probably took me like three and a half hours with everything.
Yeah.
And by the time I was getting close to home, I was like, oh, I'm feeling it a little bit.
Feeling it.
Like I had, it was a
delayed,
like,
I think it was, we it had was the delayed a total hangover.
Delay. I had the delayed hangover, and yes. I'm like, oh, now I have to go to Easter, and I don't feel like eating anything.
I drove luckily, the kids back here.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. No, finish here.
No, I was going to say, luckily we ended up, but BTW, my parents didn't tell me we were having company over for Easter dinner.
Oh.
So I show up as my raggedy ass self after a night
hungover
with a 21-year-old in Chicago, pajamas, hair up, walk in like, I'm here, I made it.
I showed up.
And
where's
then
the
I'm
name?
Like, there's company. And I'm like, I just want to come in and say hello, but I apologize for the way I look.
Makes sense. Yes. On the way home, we were all feeling pretty good. And then I think Olivia, it's so funny because I call her Olivia, but everyone else calls her Liv. Liv was feeling it at the end of the trip. We got back to my house. Yeah. They drove from there. But I looked at Mark. I said, I'm taking a nap.
Good for you, Mindy.
A two-hour nap. I was exhausted.
It was like my body. I was more tired than like sick. Like I didn't feel like I was going to puke. I just wasn't hungry or anything.
I was exhausted.
Like, I am so.
And Mark goes,
tired.
Are you sore from dancing? I go, actually, I am. I think I had a little bit of soreness from all the dancing we did.
I definitely had soreness because when I walked in, my brother's like, "Why are you walking like that?" And I'm like, oh. "He's like,
I was dancing
all
night."
I'm like, do you even have to ask? He's like, you were dancing. I'm like, yeah. And I can feel it in every muscle.
Every bone. But it was a good time. So happy birthday, Olivia. Love you.
Yay,
happy 21st, baby. And
yay.
I think that's all I got for tonight. What about you?
Yes. No, that's it, man. That was all
that
we
was enough. That was enough for
that was
all
enough.
Right, bestie. Do us one favor. That's tell your best friend about the show. Or you can tell your favorite 21-year-old that you can out-party them, but you still love them anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about the podcast.
Don't test mama.
Don't test mama. Or you can tell your favorite person who sent you a gift basket of food, because that would have been greatly appreciated the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or tell your favorite bouncer about the podcast. Just anyone. Just anyone in a bar. Yay, yay, yay. Live it up. Have a good time.
Go out, have fun, tell everyone you meet in the bar. That's all we need.
That's all we need. Bestie, that's how we grow. That's how we keep coming back to you each and every week, is by you sharing the podcast with one person, because that's how we grow. And we appreciate all of you. All of you all.
Mwah. Until next week, make sure you don't forget your safe word and punch that demon raw.
And sweet,
sweet
dreams bitches.
Bitches. The raw part, really, on that girl.
Very descriptive.
Raw.
Raw punches.